The coming of Jesus was the saving event which redeemed reason from its shackles. It's not until you come to Jesus that you realize, in that moment of submission, that you realize that you've been in bondage. You've been in bondage to your reasoning. You've been in bondage to your choices. And when you come to Jesus, pride has to take a fall. Yes. Pride has to take a fall. And it has to say, this is how I got here. Yes.
All right.
In pride, we've deceived ourselves that we're so smart. We worship our intellect. We worship our reasoning and we worship our choices. And nobody can tell you no different. And you know more at 16 than you think you'll ever know. And you just worship that reasoning. I can think for myself. I can make choices for myself. This is what, and there ain't one person can tell you any different. You can save a lot of people a lot of trouble if they'd listen, but they won't. Even when God listens, when he wants to talk through you to somebody. See, God can talk to you through somebody. Amen? They can do it. God can do it that way too. And he can talk out of his word, and he can talk to you out of prayer. He can talk to you in those places. Okay, can we hang on? I'm trying to teach here, so I'm not in the mood to preach tonight. I want to teach. So y'all ready?
Yes.
All right. In the fall, sin manifests itself through the tree of good and evil. Sin manifested itself then. See, sin had no place to go. And you remember when I was teaching about demon powers last week, I told you that no demon power can work independently of a flesh person in agreement. You remember that? Every demon principality power has to have a fleshly person to agree with it. And when he gets agreement, he gets power. Conversely, when God gets agreement, he relates power to us. Amen?
Amen.
And so, we have these gateways for demons to exercise power in our lives and to push buttons and keep us in bondage to false patterns, sinful patterns, things that we do over and over again because we've taken God's hand off and said, I want good and evil. I want to make my own choices, make my own decisions, and walk in my prideful boasting that I know what I'm doing. To know what you're doing, you would have to be God. And what did I say earlier? You're not. Just a wake-up call, y'all. Just a wake-up call. See, devils operate through lies and deception. But for you to be lied to, for you to be deceived, you have to partake of that lie and partake of that deception. And you have to believe it. Listen, people in false cults and false religions, they really believe that, what they believe. They really believe it and are willing to die for it. That's how deceived and duped they are. We ought to be different. We ought to be different. We've allowed our hearts to be lied to. And the furnace of affliction will help you in this process. Nothing like the furnace of affliction to help you. Jesus said, or God said in the Old Testament, he said, I have chosen you, Israel, out of the furnace of affliction. That's where he chose Israel. And that's where he's going to choose you, because in that furnace of affliction, all those lies and deceptions begin to burn off and you begin to see things like they are. I've been lied to. I've been deceived. I was told this and I was shown that. And I thought this and someone taught me that and someone did the other. And then you wake up when you're in the middle of a trial and you go, something's wrong up in here. I've got to find out what's going on. And God begins to open and reveal to you in that furnace of affliction where you went wrong, where you got off, and you get down. Amen. I'm wanting to get into this. There's a whole lot here. Peter says, he that suffers in the flesh ceases from sin. The way to promote this is through fasting and prayer. Nothing will put the flesh under like fasting and prayer. Nothing. Because when you're fasting, you're weak. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing, no pleasure you can turn to. There's nothing that you can do, but you've got to just wait on God. That's why the Bible says, he that waits upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. Yes and amen. Amen. I love y'all. I just love y'all. You're my favorite audience. I'm serious. Because y'all drinking of the waters of living life tonight. You're drinking of it, and you're not pushing me to shut up and leave. Man, y'all want it. Amen. Because you know what? We've got to walk different. We've got to learn where we missed the pathway. Amen? Amen. We've got to learn. We've got to, or we're doomed to repeat it forever. 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. We are to submit to the suffering that's according to God's will and commit our soul to him and continue to do well and continue to do right. Why? Because he's a faithful creator. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 4:19, you need to write that one down and study. Yes. God has got a thing that you've got to go through that's according to his will. Yes. And sometimes it's according to his will because you've missed it somewhere, and sometimes it's just another growth, another spurt of growth. Amen?
Amen.
Can we talk about another area of deception? It's in unforgiveness. When we partook of the tree of good and evil, we thought we had the right to maintain anger and bitterness and resentment against somebody who has hurt us. But you know what? See if your Bible says the same thing as mine. It says to me, it says in the New Testament, it says, he that can't forgive cannot be forgiven. Amen. Is that what it says in your Bible?
Amen.
You've got to learn to forgive. Otherwise, you're going to be a breeding ground for bitterness, resentment, intolerance, all kinds of things will just run in there and cohabitate and raise up babies. We may go through that when we study this week on demon gangs. Lord willing, one day this week I'm going to tell you demon gangs, how they gang up together and which ones go with what. And if you see these things in your life, you know what's going on. Hallelujah. See, I told you last week we were breaking ground. Well, this week I've got to teach you something. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going. Amen. All right. Unforgiveness is also an area of pride. You think that you're better than the person that hurt you, and probably technically you are. But you're not if you don't forgive them. You're right on the same level with them, see? You're on the same level with them. And it is powerful. Forgive means to lay aside, forsake, leave behind, yield it up. We can't forgive, but how many times do we offend God and expect God to forgive us?
Amen.
And something comes along and pricks you and hurts you, and you begin to bleed, and you become one with the very thing that afflicted you to begin with. If I have a pin and I begin to scratch your skin and you begin to bleed, the blood gets on the pin and the pin gets on the blood.
Amen.
So when someone's hurting you and afflicting you, and instead of you going higher and forgiving, and what we talked about on the cross the other night, instead of doing that, you become one with what afflicted you to begin with. So you're on the same level. Is that right?
Amen.
Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, then we can go forward here. Amen. If he doesn't forgive us, we are doomed. I said that earlier. We'll destroy someone's good name. We'll murder their reputation and hide behind. We just need to pray for them. In other words, we murder someone's reputation by going around saying, "Do you know Sister Brown? She's got an awful bad temper. It's really bad." But let's just pray for her. But you know, I saw her the other day. Man, she was hitting the couch and she was throwing things out. But let's just pray for her. We just need to pray for her. But oh, wait a minute. I need another prayer warrior on this. You know what? I saw Sister Brown the other day. Oh, she's not in a good way. Something's real wrong with her. We need to really pray for her. Will you please pray? See, I don't want to say it. I really don't want to say it, but I need agreement. She was all up in an uproar. I mean, she was slapping her kids around. She was I'm sorry. I don't mean to gossip, but. Give the Lord a hand. See, that's what our corrupting good and evil does. It twists things and turns things so that you think you're doing right. You're going to help poor Sister Brown by telling all these prayer warriors about it. See, that's how that good and evil corrupts your thinking. Oh! Ooh, I want this to sink into us real good.
Hallelujah,
Jesus.
We have to fast and pray to break some of these strongholds.
Yes.
Now Genesis 6:5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." See, the heart is the center of affection. It's the center of attention. It's what God desires to have happy is his heart. But it grieves him. Oh, people think, and this makes me so mad. Help me, Lord. People think they can keep inflicting pain and grief in the heart of God and prance into heaven. Yes, he sent the blood of Jesus, but you've got to use it. You've got to use the blood. You've got to repent. You've got to get down and say, "God, I did wrong. Forgive me. I grieved you in your heart." Now, when you ask God for forgiveness, it means that you don't ever want to do it again, and you're going to do everything you can not to do it again. You don't just go slap someone, "Oh, forgive me. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I do that again? What's the matter with you? Oh, I'm sorry." Would that work? Does that work? No, but yet we think we can do that to God.
Amen.
Brother, you won't sit on the front row tomorrow night, will you? You'll sit there. Oh, the prophet has done hit me again. That's what's going on. "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the imagination of his thoughts." See, we have this imagination, and it creates all sorts of images. And then with those images, we do what's called an action or a reaction. And those thoughts are going in us, and they're beginning to feed ideas to us to create a format in our mind for us to follow. That's the job of movies and music also, is to form you into a product of its own. And you'll notice that people gravitate to the entertainment that already has a hold of them. I can tell you where a person's spiritual level is just by seeing what they're watching and listening to what they're listening to. It is establishing a corrupted viewpoint, and they're grabbing the tree of good and evil because it's feeding it. See, what happens is when you get to listening or watching things that are, and you'll notice if they're into horror movies or whatever, it's actually feeding a spirit that's already stepped into them. Do you hear me tonight? Then that spirit has to continually be fed. Has to continually be fed. Now, I'll show you an abstract, a really crazy thing that I saw. This man that had been in witchcraft, when he come under the power of God, and he knew, that demon knew that it was about to have to leave the body, he needed power. He needed something going on that would give him power. So he was looking for something to cut himself with. Because what did I say this morning about abortion? Every time blood is shed, it gives power, innocent blood, it gives power to the demonic forces. So this man that was demon possessed, he was desperate and he couldn't find anything to cut himself, so he started with his teeth tearing his flesh out. I know I hate to be graphic, but I need to drive this home to you, that when you allow a spirit in, it's not going to stop at one little song or one little movie. It's there to want to take you over. Amen?
Amen.
Just as unforgiveness breeds bitterness, all these other things have their own breeding grounds. Okay, our ability to stand in what's coming depends on how we're able to pull away from the tree of good and evil and begin to participate with God's plan instead of our own reasoning. If I tried to reason with you biblically tonight on some of the areas, if I walked in and saw exactly where you're at, and I was to try to reason with you and point that out, you would reject what I had to say because you love it. God said, and my people love to have it so. You love your soap opera? Come on. You love your talk shows? You want me to mess with your stuff tonight? See, we each have an affection for something outside of God. And you know what God's doing in this revival? He's trying to dig that affection out so that you hate, so that you don't want nothing to do with it anymore, so that you can walk away from it. You can see it in the true nature. If you were to see the demon spirits that are around you and surrounding the ones that you've accepted in your life, if you were to see their true form, it would scare some of you to death. I can see those true forms, and I tell you, they're ugly and they're horrible and they're stinky and they're foul. But yet you pet them and you love them and you give them a home.
Hallelujah.
Okay? Break up the fallow ground. Weeds keep growing back. This is a serious endeavor to break up the fallow ground. It's not a one-time thing. Because once you've given in to a spirit or a temptation, let's take nicotine. I've talked to so many people who got delivered from nicotine, and they'd be delivered 5-10 years and go back to it, and then they can't get rid of it. Good Christians, they're struggling to try to get rid of that thing. They need deliverance. That's why it's such a serious endeavor to get, when God pinpoints one of these sins, we need to let him operate on us. We need to fast and pray and dig it out. Because if you leave those spirits there, they are going to destroy your life. They're going to destroy your children. They're going to destroy your friends. They're going to destroy your family. And they're going to make you so undesirable and so unlovable that you're going to look just like them. And then there's a spirit of coveting. Oh, this is big in the United States. And that's one of the top demon gangs, is greed. Coveting and greed. See, the advertisers know how to play that card. Amen? And Christmas is a prime example. Because they tell you every Christmas, it provokes you to go out and take your credit card, lay it down, and pick up all this stuff, go in debt, takes you a whole year to pay it off, if you get it paid off. By November, you're just getting it paid off, and then you start all over. Is that right? What is that? And then people are coveting everything they see. They get this kind of tennis shoes, they gotta have that kind. They get this kind of pants, they gotta have that kind of pants. Oh, they get this kind of TV, they gotta have that kind of TV. Oh, God to cut off what don't today. Don't stone me. See, when we walk in the Spirit, we have the prize of all prizes. And we don't need Babylon. You hear me? We are living in Babylon. The love of this world, the pleasures of this world, has engulfed the church to where all they want is more. It's a spirit of greed. It's a spirit of coveting. And God is not going to anoint it. He's not going to bless it. And he's not going to send you revival until you get rid of it. The wicked boast of their heart's desire. What they've gotten for the flesh. They want to walk around with the jewelry. They want to walk around with what they have and show it off to everybody. And everybody might think you're really cool. Everybody might think you're great. But inside you're naked and corrupt and poor and bound for hell. And you think you've got it all together. That's how deceptive the tree of good and evil is. I don't want it in my life. If y'all want it, go ahead, but I don't want it. Some Christians have great knowledge, but they're harsh. They don't have love. See, I can set you straight up here, but if I don't love you, I'm not really helping you. Nobody wants a mama who just has a switch and don't have some love to go along with it. Amen? Amen. Puffed up in knowledge of good and evil, no love. Putting on Adam's clothes. Every day we have Adam's clothes on. And our hearts are hard. And our understanding is darkened. And we do all kinds of damage to ourselves, to our friends, to our loved ones. Because we desire to have our way. We desire to have our will. Psalms 10:4 says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God." How come we only seek after God when we want something? How come we only fast when things are desperate? Yes. Don't we have eyes to see where this world's in? Amen. If I could tell y'all what I know right now, it'd probably blow your mind. I don't. I've been asking God this week, God, should I share with them what's coming? Because I tell you, the darkest day, I'll tell you this, it's the darkest day the world has ever seen. And if losing your diamond ring puts you into a pity party, you're in trouble. Because what's coming is going to be much worse than that.
Amen.
Lord, hold me back. Don't let me say what you don't want me to say. The wicked boast of their heart's desire. And they will not seek after God. This is in Psalms 10:4. God is not in all his thoughts. Doing good through the fallen carnal flesh will become evil apart from Jesus. We can do nothing. Even doing good through your fallen flesh cannot be an eternal thing. If you're doing, what does it say in 1 Corinthians 13? Is it 1 Corinthians 13? It's called the love chapter. It says, even if you do this, even if you do that, even if you do the other and have not love. Now, what's he talking about love? We can have fleshly love. We can actually love people in a fleshly way. He's talking about the eternal agape love that will lay down its life and will do all these things with the right intention. But the wicked won't do that. They won't even acknowledge God. They won't seek after God, and God is not in their thoughts. And the only time God is in our thoughts is when we're in such deep trouble. But see, I told you the other night, God is not your sugar daddy. He's not. He's God. And we're going to stand before God of all the earth one day. And all the things that you think you, that good and evil has puffed you up to make you think you're all that. When you stand before God and the voice of God rolls like thunder. And he says, I gave you this and I did that. And you walked away in your rebellion and you turned against me. I tell you what, it's going to be a fearful day. Because each and every one of us is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account. Opportunity and oh, where God's good. Lord told me a day is coming where it's going to shut off. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I saw it. And I saw backsliders running like the five foolish virgins to the door, pounding, "Let us in." And God said, "I gave you an open door and you didn't walk through it. I gave you daytime to repent and you didn't repent. I was good to you. I fed you. I clothed you. I put a roof over your head. But you turned in rebellion and turned to your knowledge of good and evil and said, 'I've got it all figured out. God, I'll let you know if I need you or not.'" And he's going to say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I know you not. Go back to your tree. Worship your tree, because I'm out of here." Give God glory. Go ahead. Right now, the door's open to walk in the Spirit. At least tonight. That could change tomorrow. That could change tomorrow. If I was you and I wasn't right with God tonight, I'd get right before I leave this place. I would lay down some commitment to God and some covenants with God. You better, instead of fearing what you won't get if you serve God, you better. See, Jesus looked to God, and good and evil will never bring truth and revelation. Only God can bring you that. You think that your knowledge, your friends, your movies, your little, everybody has this little counter-revolutionary thing going on. Maybe they're dressing in black over here, or maybe they're, everybody's got their own little cool thing that they're into, in their own little cliques, in their own little worlds, and there's thousands of them all over the world. Oh, these are people that worship with the candles over here, and over here is kids that are punk rockers, and over here is something else, and they got all these little things. But you know what? Every one of them got a name written over it. It's called Ichabod. The glory of God has departed. You know what? Your friends aren't going to step up for you in that day. Your friends aren't going to help you in that day. They're going to be in the same condemnation you're in. And this is what condemns, the Bible says, that he has sent his son. And what did you do with him? You walked away from him thinking that you'd grab a little bit of the gospel, little bit of church. We can walk church. We can talk church. We'd go out and be like the world, but we come in church and we just all holy, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What time's it getting out? Man, let me text my friends. I told you I'm gonna mess with your stuff. Amen. Here we had the praying Pharisee, and he's beating on his chest, and he's going, "God, I thank you I'm not like that sinner over there. I thank you that I'm not like them. I go to church once a week. I give my tithes. I drive the church bus. I'm okay. I think I'm not like that Pharisee over there that's yelling out for forgiveness." And while that man's receiving forgiveness and grace, the Pharisee's on his way to hell. All puffed up with good and evil, with the knowledge of good and evil, thinking because he has his robes on, he goes to the temple. He does all these good things, but in his heart, he's corrupt, cut off from God, and doesn't care about his relationship with Jesus Christ. I can tell you if you got a relationship with Jesus, because when you really do, sin cuts like a knife. The minute you realize you have offended God and his heart is burdened that he created you, there's something in you tears, and you've got to get that thing right. You can't go on another day. You can't wait to run to the altar. You can't wait to clean it up and make it right. You can't wait to get back in relationship. You can't wait to feel the glory again. Oh, what did David say? Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't take it. You do anything you need to do, God, to get me right. Be just. I got chills all over me. I love the Holy Ghost, and I ain't playing games with him, because he can strike me dead. He can strike me dead, and that's the one unforgivable sin, is to offend the Holy Ghost. And you know what? I think the biggest offense on that is people have been filled with it. Because how can you be judged on something you weren't familiar with? I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. I mean, the Holy Ghost, once you've been filled with it, then you can walk away. You can make fun of it. Or stand in the back of church and make fun of Sister Susie shouting. Or someone praying through. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't want to be near you. Those lightning bolts could come down any minute. We got to stop walking the way we're walking and put down the ways of Babylon. Quit putting your moral standard so high in your mind when in reality it's so low. It's like the school stuff nowadays. What they've done is they've lowered the expectation of the student. You know what I'm talking about. Back when we was in school, you to get an A or to get a B, you had to come up. You had to be one of the top students. You had to study. You had to know what you were doing. You had to be in your books. You had to be cramming. Now you don't even have to come anywhere near it. They get, you're all right, go ahead, pass through. You know why? They don't care about you. They don't care about you. So they'll lower the bar. Now all you got to do to be accepted is have a certain type of clothes on or something. Or be on a basketball team or whatever. God's values are not man's values. Good and evil will never bring truth. It'll never bring revelation. Good and evil is the highest ideas of our minds. The most corrupt people on the earth are the intellectuals. The scientists, the doctors, the highest intellectual standards, they think they're God. You give me some poor little mom scrubbing a floor somewhere who's praying to God, and she's higher than the most intellectual person in the world today. See, God don't look at the way man looks. And you worship your intellect, and you worship who you think you are, and you worship all those things you have on the wall, this degree and that degree. That don't make you holy. That doesn't give you a relationship. That doesn't give you revelation.
Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. The highest ideal we can walk in is to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now you tell me that those intellectuals are not going out and getting whores, going out and getting bongs. Come on.
Amen.
Just like the man on the street, they're doing the same thing. They're just as corrupt.
Amen.
Maybe more because they're financing it.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
It's the truth anyway. Operating in a carnal mind has never blessed anyone with life. It's never brought someone salvation. The knowledge of good and evil has never brought healing. It's never brought deliverance. It's never brought anointing. It's never broken any yoke of the enemy. It never saved a sinner. Knowledge of good and evil never gave hope, never gave faith to anyone. All it's done is tore down. And I tell you, the devil's plan is working so good. He has rendered you stupid by sitting there watching TV and listening to worldly music and feeding your flesh. And he's rendered you unable to climb into the greatness that you were created for. He has dumbed the church down. He has taken the glory and he's cast it off of you through your own permission. You have yielded your body, your in your spirit to demonic powers, and you've not allowed the glory of God to rest in your temple. And he's going to do the same thing the church he did to Israel. He lifted off in Ezekiel, and he began to lift off the holy place, and he stood up above, and then he waited a while, nobody repented, and then he lifted off to the mountain. When we're not walking in the Spirit and love, we're actually alienating and stumbling the people around us, and we don't even know it. And if we offend a little one, we're going to have to answer for it. There are people walking in your footsteps. And I told you the other night, you know where the church has gone wrong also? Because they didn't teach the babies warfare. They didn't teach the babies warfare. They didn't take them in the prayer closet. They didn't say, baby, you see that right there? That's sin. You remember when we was reading the Bible the other night where it said it's an abomination to God? Say, if you want to know why God's bringing judgment on the United States of America, it's because that thing has been accepted. It has been brought into the Christian home. Baby, we need to get down and pray. We need to come against demonic powers. We need to begin to cast these things out. Take that baby in the prayer closet. Let him hear you groaning in the spirit. Let him hear you asking and seeking God. Let him see God answer prayer. Let him see God bring things in your life. You see that? You see how we pray for groceries and God provided? That is our God, our Creator, the one who loves our soul. Instead, what the babies have seen is our own corrupt, naked, hypocritical ways, walking in good and evil in our own corrupted knowledge. Altogether corrupt. And what are they going to think in their little minds when they see the man behind the pulpit sleeping with all the women on the front row? What's the babies going to think? When they see the assistant pastor behind a building taking a toke, what's the babies going to think? When they see you talking and worshiping and going home and cussing and fussing, what are they supposed to think? How are they supposed to digest this information? How are they supposed to rearrange it in their mind? God's going to bring judgment on that thing. Because when you get up to leadership, then all these people under you are going to fall because of you. And who's God going to call on the line? The leader. That's right. Up front. Because they've been partaken of the tree of good and evil. They've been, listen, there's nobody exempt. And some babies are going to be higher on that day than some of those who have reached great levels in this world. See, so don't you think you're left out. Just because you're not on TVN or on TV or on some big radio program or something else, that is no degree of holiness. Amen?
Amen.
The most corrupt people in the world are in the ministry.
Amen.
I ain't going to hold back, y'all. I ain't going to hold back. Because God's called us to a different standard. And you know what I say? If you can't live it, get away from it. Because you're corrupting it. Give the Lord a hand. And let me, as a minister, apologize to you folks who have been hurt by it, who have seen it, and you walked away scratching your head wondering, is God real or not? Does he really mean that we have to walk holy or not? And those of you that the ministry has hurt, I apologize to you. And I tell you that it wasn't God that hurt you. It wasn't God that put that bad example in front of you. It's somebody's rebellious heart, the impenitent heart that has refused to humble itself before God and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. Amen. Mark 6:52 says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hard. Now this is talking about after Jesus had walked on the waters, he poured in, taking the loaves and the fishes, and he had imparted them, and he had given them out. And then he said, go to the other side. And while they're on their way to the other side, a storm came up. Jesus comes walking on the water. And it's strange that once he gets in the boat, the Bible gives that scripture. He says, for they consider not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. How in the world are you going to receive from the hand of God if you can't believe he's who he says he is? If your heart is so hard that you don't believe he's the deliverer, you don't believe that he means when he says, be ye holy, even as I am holy, and you don't believe it and you don't fear God, because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And I tell you something right now, you better fear him who can kill the body and the soul both.
Yes. Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. Their hearts were hard. They didn't even consider the miracles. And let me tell you something, church. We have seen miracles. We've seen God do things, but our hearts are still hard. We're still walking in our knowledge of good and evil. Bible said in the days of Noah, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. See, Jesus has come among us now, and he's given us an example that we're to follow. And if you continue to do what's good in your own eyes and eat from the tree of good and evil and continue to go on in your own corrupt reasoning, you're going to answer to a holy God, and it's not going to be a very nice sight. If he had to judge Noah, what did he judge the people? He judged them because they hardened their heart. But Noah feared the Lord. And God saved him and his household. Everybody claiming that they're going to go up in the rapture, and they ain't. I'm sorry. He's coming after a pure, holy, uncorrupted bride. And if you're still walking in your reasoning, your corruption, you're not going to make it. Read the Bible for yourself. It's what the Word of God says. Quit picking all the blessing scriptures. And forgetting the ones that says I'm holy. Many are walking in that knowledge, and they're walking in false anointings and false revelations. And they're teaching the people false anointing and false revelation. We need to open our eyes. The knowledge of good and evil is bankrupt. It's worthless. It's filthy rags. It has nothing to offer. It acts independent of the Holy Spirit, and it is dangerous. It's walking independent of the Holy Ghost. The minute you think you're strong enough and well enough, see, we'll run to God. It's like the story of the man out in the water drowning, and he's promising God, "Oh, you just get me to the shore. If you can just get me to the shore, I promise from now on I'll walk holy. I promise from now on." And then as you get closer to the shore, "Well, God, I didn't really mean I was going to give 30% of my money. I really meant I was going to give 15%. And you get closer and you begin to drop off all those promises you made to God. That's walking in corrupted knowledge of the good and evil tree. And you need to crucify that thing, because God don't forget a promise. If he forgot a promise, you wouldn't have any to hang on to. You understand what I'm saying? So you make a promise, or he makes a promise, he never forgets it. He said it's better not to promise than to make one and break it. But we have promised God, "Oh, we came to the altar, Lord, forgive me of my sins, save my soul. I want to live for you. If you'll just use me." I had a man call me the night, never made before in my life. He found me somehow on Facebook, wants me to give him open doors in the ministry. I don't know him from anybody. You know, I'm going to start calling pastors and telling them to receive you. I don't know you. In the imagination of our own mind, we're following our fleshly carnal mind, and it becomes our God. In our belly do we serve, the Bible says, and do what's right in our own eyes. They judge themselves right, and they judge you wrong. They're clouds without water, the Bible says. In their minds, they have the truth, and you are the heretic. We're asleep. Our spirit man is slumbering, trusting in the belief system of the mind. God's not impressed with your knowledge of good and evil. He's not impressed of what you got from the fall. The attribute of sin that works independent of the mind of Christ. Many have adopted teachings of the gospel. I'm just going to read this because I was writing this last night, and I want to just read as God put it down. Many have adopted teachings of the gospel as their own personal religion. They have no doubt they are sheep. They have great confidence in their knowledge of good and evil, but the real sheep are timid, not boastful. The real timid are humble and meek. Those who are checking to make their calling and election sure are the ones God's looking at. Making sure your calling and election is in place, that your passion, Remember we talked about, what did I tell you passion also meant? Pain. Making sure that your passion and your pain is set on affecting the kingdom of God. Willing to repent and be changed, crying out for a new heart and for God to search our soul. We need a spirit of repentance. We need a new heart. And we need God to search our souls. David said, "Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me." We want deliverance from sin. We want deliverance from iniquity. We're seeking the kingdom and His righteousness. But others presume they have it. Our treasure is Him. And He requires you to seek Him. How badly do you want to hear? How desperate are you willing to go on seeking with all of your heart? How desperate are you? When I was in my prayer closet this afternoon, the Holy Ghost came on me so strong. I've never had this happen. My lips begin to tingle and my hands begin to tingle. I don't know what God's doing, but I tell you one thing. He has just this week released a lot of angels from heaven to do warfare with God's people who are seeking Him. Just this week. I'm talking about angels that have been held in reserve for thousands of years have been released this week. Not just because of what we're doing here. This is independent. This is just the body of Christ that has had this special treasure released this week. The cry has gone up from all these nations. People have been crying for holiness. People have been crying not to be independent from the Holy Ghost. People have been crying that God would set their feet in the right place. And God has released angels to do this warfare. What a shame if they had to sit on the sidelines and watch you continue to stumble in your sin and the degradation that the enemy has smeared on you. Clean up, church. Get right. Get rid of your own ability. Instead of thinking you've got the answer, go to God and say, "This is what I think, but God, what do you think? This is the decision I think, but what do you say? What do you want me to do?" Come on, give the Lord glory. I'm going to minister to 3 or 4 people here tonight. But we need to make sure that we don't keep our hearts hardened. Hardened means to petrify. You know what petrified means, right? Well, when we harden our heart, like some people are sitting here tonight, your hearts are hard. Your hearts are hard. You're hearing what I'm saying, but you're going to walk out that door the same way you came in because your heart is hard. It is petrified. And it means to render stupid. That's what it means. I didn't say that. That's what it means. Calloused with some religious system. It's been cooked up, but missing the mark by a mile. Presuming they're right, and they're not converted, and cannot understand. Do not forgive. They don't forgive. They're sons of pride. They're blinded and obscured from the truth. And the salvation of their heart is so obscure, they can't even respond to the true gospel anymore. They can't even respond to it. And the Bible gives a scripture said they don't even have shame anymore. But they parade their sin around. It's nothing anymore to talk about your sin and just praise your sin. Our old nature is trying to dominate us. And if we give him any ground, you will be overrun. If you're not fasting and praying, listen to this. You are in willful disobedience at your own cost. If you are not fasting and praying, you are in disobedience that you have willed, and you are going to pay a great cost. Violently fight the sins of the flesh. I said violently fight the sins of the flesh, because within us is a mixed multitude. There's a lot of things in us that is mixed. There's some good and some bad. We need to start letting the Holy Ghost throw it out. Now listen, if he comes tomorrow, what he's going to look at is not as much of what you've actually achieved as much as what you're trying to achieve by going to him in repentance. He's going to see the heart that desires pureness and holiness and that hates sin, that hates it. Eschew or skew evil, talks about Job. He hated evil, in other words. He hated it when he saw it. He hated it when he heard it. He hated it when it was displayed in front of him. He hated evil. Do you hate evil, or have you become but it means forceful, unlawful, carnal knowledge. That's what it is. Forceful, what did I say?
Unlawful
carnal knowledge. So they're going around, instead of saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, they're saying, come on, let's take some forceful, unlawful, carnal knowledge and release it where I'm at right now. And they say that word, and they say that word, and it brings a curse wherever they're saying it. It's bringing a curse. It's a word just like chanting. It is bringing a curse. And when you are in agreement with those filthy, dirty words, you are speaking curses over you, your children, your family, your community, and you're bringing the judgment of God on it. God does not want to judge it, but he's going to have to, or he wouldn't be God. Because that evil thing is hurting the babies. It's hurting those who are innocent, and God's got to judge it for the sake. See, we've got a thing going on in this country and other countries too, but we live here. We've got a thing going on where the victim is supposed to be taken care of. Come on. Where the one, or rather the one that's causing it is what I meant to say, and the victim is being left out. They're praising the one or taking up for the one who did the crime instead of taking up for the one that the crime came against. That's what I meant to say. And if we continue, God's got to judge it. You know why God's got to judge it? Because it's not right. And he's the judge of all judges. I said he's the judge of all judges. He's going to hear the blood of the babies that are crying from the ground. He's going to hear the cry of the young people who are being molested. He's going to hear the cry. See, if I'm a friend of God, I've got to be an enemy to sin. See? You see what I'm saying?
Hallelujah.
I don't put up with sin. When I see it, I pray over it. But I ain't putting up with it. Mm-hmm. Because it's an enemy to God. We've learned to just put up with it. We quit battling. But it's time to get back our axe.
Amen.
Begin to chop the knowledge of good and evil out of our lives.
Amen.
So that God can move in with his glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because wickedness has increased, we have grown cold. This corruption has affected all of us with false fire. See, the church don't have the... Can I go there?
Yes.
Church don't have the real fire anymore. We're talking about fire on the altar. Until they get a sacrifice on the altar again, God ain't sending nothing. So when he don't send nothing, you know what people do? They start creating something that looks like something. Golden cow, thank you. If Moses don't come off that mountain, then we'll create something else. We'll create a golden calf. We'll create something that looks like the Holy Ghost or sounds like the Holy Ghost. You better watch out. You better watch out. You're standing there in your corruption and in your sin and telling God's people this and that, and all the time you're acting up like that, and sin is, you're as deep in sin as you can get, and then when the Holy Ghost don't fall, you're going to create a false revival, a false fire, and a false move.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
And use the name of Jesus to do it? Do you think he's going to stand by and let his name be corrupted? Oh, no. No, he's not. He's fixing to judge the false fire. And when he judges the false fire, the real fire is going to come. Amen? Because people are going to go back to the altar where they've gone wrong. And they're going to repent. And God's going to bring fire on the altar. Amen? He's going to do it. He's going to do it! Without searching of the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to know what is in your own heart. In our heart is the easiest, it is the easiest thing to get wrong. We can't even discern our true motives. We're not even smart enough to discern our true motives. We need him. We need him. We need him. We need him. We need him.
Hallelujah.
I saw a picture of a monkey one time. They had put something in a jar. He reached in to get it, and he wouldn't bring his hand out, and he couldn't get the jar off, but he wouldn't let go of it to get his hand out. And that's where we've been with God. We've reached in wanting the filthy thing, and we won't let go of it because we don't really want to let go of the world. And so we're stuck with our hand in the bottle, our hand in the cookie jar, and the judgment of God is ready to fall on the United States of America. You watch what I'm telling you. Okay, Holy Spirit. Okay. I don't know when. I don't know how. I don't know what it's going to look like exactly. But I've seen famine. I've seen war. I've seen natural disasters. I've seen earthquakes. And I've seen the United States split. From Detroit all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. I've seen nuclear war. I've seen enemies, foreign enemies, come to this nation. You know why? Do you know why? We've been talking about it all week. Do you know why? See, this nation was founded on Christian principles.
Amen.
John Melendi says he had a vision, and he saw this beautiful pillar. He was in his prayer room, and all of a sudden, he didn't know what it was. He didn't know what God was showing him. But he saw this beautiful pillar, and he saw this cake sitting on top. And suddenly, it began to move off. And when it moved off, it became a mountain, and the cake became a city. And the lights above it, the candles, became a light and just a cloud of light. And he says, suddenly, the mountain began to split. It began to split. And he began to scream, "It's cracking open. It's cracking open. It's going to be destroyed." And he saw the pillar split. And he saw it go this way and that way. He saw the cake fall off on the floor. He saw the light begin to, it was there for a moment, and it began to dim and disappear. And God said, "I intended this nation to be a city set on a hill. I intended this nation to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But all they've managed to do is ship their degradation to other nations and corrupt them." If you don't believe it, go to other nations and look at the music they're listening to and the movies they're watching. It came from the United States of America. Most pornography and the finances for it came from the United States of America. God's going to judge us. And I've seen it. Now what can we do? Pray that there's a strong remnant that make it through. That's not even, if I told you everything, you'd probably never come back. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen first, but I feel it very close. I feel it very close. Lord showed me cities being taken over by roving gangs. And there's a lot of gangs now that are doing weird things that we've never heard of. They'll go into malls. Maybe you've heard some of this. They'll go into malls, they'll go into a store, and they'll rob it, and nobody lifts a hand to stop them. They might have one little guard. What's that guy going to do with 50 people in there robbing? See, we're getting to that state now. And here's what the Lord told me, and he told John Melendi the same thing. He said, because they wanted free, he told me this years ago, because they wanted freedom to walk in their sin, they wanted the laws to be changed to walk in their sin, he said, "I'm going to give it to them. And when I give it to them, it's going to have to be judged." And he told me the cup of iniquity is going to come full, and the cup of righteousness is going to come full, and there's going to be a war. And he said, but I told you this the other night, there's going to be a war. You're going to see evil as evil. You're going to know it. It's full evil. And you're going to make an informed decision. I want that or I want that. But you're no longer going to be able to walk in the gray.
Amen. Amen.
Give the Lord a hand. How many's heard of Azusa Street? Azusa Street. When people would come into that meeting in that revival, everybody in the church, when someone had something on them that wasn't godly, they would all see it. They would all recognize it. And if the man or woman would get up and start talking or doing something, they would call him down because they all knew that he was not pure and he was not holy. See, that's where we're going. God's going to separate it. Where you're either going to go into full delusion and witchcraft, or you're going to walk in pureness and holiness. There's no walking in the middle anymore, y'all. So don't think you're going to fool anybody. Ain't nobody going to be fooled. The devil will know if you belong to him, and God certainly knows if you belong to him. Amen? And you can never tell God that you never heard the truth, because I'm standing up here telling you stuff that came directly from the throne of God for his people. Now, some of y'all are doing fine. You're doing fine. And the reason that God is telling you this is so that you can share it and tell others, so that you can pull away from the knowledge of good and evil and start leaning back on the voice of the Holy Spirit to clean up your life, so that your house doesn't have to go unprotected. There is going to be people, another thing the Lord revealed to me, is there's going to be areas that are protected. There's going to be certain areas that are protected, and there'll be many kept alive in certain areas during what's coming. He told me the darkest day is coming that the world has ever known. Not just this nation, that the world has ever known. And he said, but in the middle of that, my people will rise up. And they'll be a holy people. And I'll send a move of God that they've never seen before. They will walk in Turabakaya. They'll be able to translate from one place to another. You hear me? They'll be able to translate from one place to another. They'll be able to walk into a city and rescue people who are being taken captive against their will. They'll have the power and authority to pray for people with no legs and they'll grow back. This is going to happen for a short period of time, and then the end will come. He said, my people are not ready for what's coming. I'm not ready for what's coming. That's why I'm fasting, praying, and seeking God. I don't want to be caught unaware. I want to cut myself off from the world. I don't need their junk. I don't need their entertainment. I don't need their music. I don't need their movies.
Amen.
All I need is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And he will walk with me and talk with me. Doesn't mean I may not have to lay down my life as a martyr someday. Doesn't mean that I won't have to do that. But don't fear him that can kill the body, but fear him that can kill the soul and the body. Amen. Fear ye him. See, some of us can't even let go of the world of something that's just pleasurable, much less something that means your life. What's going to happen when the mark of the beast is implemented? And not only can you not get your pleasure, but you can't get your food. What are you going to do then? Who are you going to choose then? You think you're not going to know the pure from the profane then? Huh? You're going to be shocked at who takes that mark. It's already in the United States. It's already here. It was created right in this community. Right here. And it's being implemented, and people are taking it, and the animals are taking it, and they're wanting children to take it. And I told you, I had a dream, and the Lord showed me. I was standing up in front of a big church, and the pastor was saying, this isn't the mark of the beast. It's okay. Go ahead and take the computer chip. Don't worry about it. It's just so that things can be, you know, so they're not so hectic, so we can implement food. They're taking away your rights, left and right, so that you're so dependent upon the government that they can control you. Are we watching this? Are we watching this? We better learn to get close enough to God to depend on him. When they start pulling back the things that they've used to control us for so long, they're going to say, well, you've got to take the mark to get it now. Are you hearing me? Oh God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. We've got to do it God's way. There's no other way. There's no other way. Father, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over this message tonight about the tree of good and evil. Father, we've been unmasking the devil for a week now. We've been unmasking his tricks. We've been unmasking his lies. We've given in to the deception that we're okay, that the church is okay, and they're not okay. They're naked, they're blind, they're walking in deception. God, but you've got a holy people, and I'm asking you to raise up your holy people and esteem your holy people, God, as somebody that can be looked up to and they can hear from God, so that the people's lives. God, I ask you for a holy people to rise up and take their place. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood over everyone here, over our choices and our decisions that will depend and lean on you, Father, and not on this world or the love of this world. For the love of the Father will not be in us if we love the world. So God, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Forgive us, God, for being deceived and lied to. Forgive us and help us, God, to walk above sin and to walk into your marvelous light. In the name of Jesus, cut me loose. You need to pray it too. Cut me loose from this world. Cut me loose from my own knowledge of good and evil. Cut me loose from the deception of this world. Loose me to the glory of God. Loose me to walking on water with Jesus. Loose me to raise the dead. Tonight. Amen? I am saying it very clearly, very distinctly, very simply, so that no one has to be confused. And if you mix it up, we've got it on tape and we've got it on video. So if y'all go say I said something I didn't, I've got proof. Amen? Amen. And I'll stand behind what I did say. Because it ain't me saying it. I wouldn't stand behind anything Brenda says. But if it's the Holy Spirit, you better listen up. Amen? Because he's warning his people and he's getting a bride that's ready. There's a bride of Jesus Christ that is cleansing her ways. She's putting on those garments. She's putting on her veil. She's getting ready to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. She's getting ready to go grab his hand and say, come on, Jesus, let's walk the aisle. Let's be pure and holy. Take me, Jesus. Give me the kisses of your mouth. Give me that revelation. Give me that forgiveness and give me that affection. God, let me walk with you and talk with you. Let me look like you. Let me think like you. Let me lay hands on the sick and see them recover. In the name of Jesus, I want to be in your bride. I could go on. That's a whole nother subject, the bride of Jesus Christ. 30, 60, and 100-fold. Everybody's not on the same level. Amen. Amen.